In the book of Esther, one of the only two Bible books named after a woman, we find the hate-filled threat, annihilate all of the Jews. Brother David Johnson will tell us about this event on this Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers pray and donate in support of this program. We are grateful for this support. We want all the entire broadcast to be a blessing to you. First, we began with songs of praise for our Lord.
I found in Him a resting place that He has made me.
Holy Father, as we humble ourselves before you in prayer, we are grateful for your blessings and for your care for us. Whether we are downcast or happy, we know that you hear us. Please use the words of this program for your glory. We also pray that you will be with each one of our listeners and help them with spiritual needs, physical needs, and personal needs. There are faithful servants throughout your world. Please bless them, help their witness to be effective, and when Jesus returns, help us to be ready for him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Based on Esther chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Brother David Johnson will speak in his sermon title, Annihilate All of the Jews.
It's always good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Annihilate All the Jews. And our text is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Esther, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Please listen to the Word of God. Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out in the script of each province and in the language of each people all Haman's orders to the king's satraps, the governors of the various provinces, and the nobles of the various peoples. These were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and sealed with his own ring. Dispatches were sent from couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month of the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality so that they would be ready for that day. This is the Word of God. On November 9th and 10th, in the year of our Lord 1938, an apparently spontaneous eruption of violence occurred against the Jews throughout Germany and Austria. The riots became known as Kristallnacht, or Crystal Night in English, because of the shattered windows of Jewish shops, stores, and homes. The hostilities meted out during those nights were actually part of a meticulous program that eventually led to the extermination of over 6 million European Jews. Before the gas chambers were used, the Nazis had to marginalize and demonize the Jews' position within society. Hatred of the Jewish people has raged for thousands upon thousands of years, long before the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth, prompted by the Jews. Before Adolf Hitler, the Pharaoh of Moses' day, and Haman of Esther's day, to name just a few, have sought to annihilate all the Jews. Today, Ayatollah of Iran infamously desires to wipe Israel, all Jewry, off the map. Why such hatred against Jews? There could be many reasons given, but the most serious and sinister reason lurks where no one can see. There is a secret force, a power that detests all Jews, that repeatedly instigates hatred against the Jewish race. Satan, the devil. Why? When God called Abram out of the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans, and promised that his seed would become a great nation, possess the land of Israel, and that God would use the nation of Israel to bless the world, the Jewish people became public enemy number one in the kingdom of Satan. Anti-Semitism is satanic at its roots, whenever or wherever it has occurred in history up to today and into the dark future. This evil lurks. Satan knows Scripture, whether he believes it or not. God declared in the book of Micah, chapter 5, and verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." This fits Jesus the Messiah, born in Bethlehem of Judah. Judah, or Judea, from which the term Jew comes. Jesus, in his future millennial reign, will rule over Israel and all the nations, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times, refers to the eternal God's incarnation made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he is Messiah, Savior, King, God in bodily form. Satan, then, was determined to wipe out all Israelites, all Jews, in his forceful attempt to stop God's salvation plan through Jesus the Christ. He failed. Nevertheless, Satan still endeavors to annihilate all Jews in his attempt to derail God's will and purposes presently and into the future. Satan desperately wants to devour Israel and to discredit God by foiling God's unfulfilled prophecies regarding Israel and the King of Kings and his millennial reign. Satan even attempted to have the story, the book of Esther, forgotten, in the dust pail of history, excluded from the canon of Scripture. He failed miserably again. A commentator writes, quote, "Esther could be compared to a chess game. God and Satan, as invisible players, moved real kings, queens, and nobles. When Satan put Haman into place, it was as if he announced, 'Check.' God then positioned Esther and Mordecai in order to put Satan into checkmate. Ever since the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, Satan has attempted to spiritually sever God's relationship with his human creation and disrupt God's covenant promises with Israel. While God was not directly mentioned in the book of Esther, he was everywhere, apparent as the one who opposed and foiled Satan's diabolical schemes by his providential intervention." End quote. The book of Esther is the classic example of God's providence, as he, the unrecorded, unseen power, controls everything for his purposes. That is, unrecorded explicitly. The word God is not found, or its derivatives, directly, explicitly, in the book of Esther, the only book of such a case. In the book of Esther, all of God's unconditional covenant promises to Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, and to David, 2 Samuel 7, were jeopardized. However, God's love for Israel is nowhere more apparent than in this dramatic rescue of the Jewish race from annihilation. God will ultimately save all his faithful people, no exceptions, and that includes faithful believing Jews. Let's look closer at our passage referring to the edict in Esther chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Verse 12. Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out in the script of each province and in the language of each people all Haman's orders to the king's satraps, the governors of the various provinces, and the nobles of the various peoples. These were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and sealed with his own ring. In both Babylonian and Persian cultures, the number 13 was considered unlucky. The decree, the edict of doom for all Jews, was issued on this believed ominous date. It was also, ironically, according to scholars, the day before Jewish Passover, corresponding to the Jewish calendar, which was the historical celebration of God's deliverance and salvation from Pharaoh of Egypt. Royal scribes were summoned to write out the edict against all Jews with cold bureaucratic formality. Satraps governed the larger regions of the empire. Within these regions, and answerable to the satraps, were governors over smaller provinces and cities. The nobles were ethnic and tribal leaders of particular people groups. The edict was deliberate and calculated, and woe to anyone who disobeyed it. Haman was evil's agent, but Satan was the power behind him. And Satan is like a roaring lion seeking to devour. Verse 13. Dispatches were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. Every province of the empire was included. Destroy, kill, and annihilate emphasize the totality and inevitability. It is amazing that the fate of an entire people could be decided by the stroke of a pen. People before and since Haman have proceeded with the same arrogance and evil to destroy human life indiscriminately. The slaughter of the Jews was to occur on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month. So for an entire year, the Jews would live under the weight of their approaching death, as they were undoubtedly identified for destruction throughout the Persian Empire. The 12 months also allowed for an escalation of anti-Jewish sentiment among the general population. It would also allow for a growing greed as people eyed their Jewish neighbors, their property and possession, as their plunder, which was included in the edict. Yes, some Jews could possibly escape Xerxes' kingdom, but being totally uprooted would have been rather difficult. Moreover, neighboring kingdoms would not have wanted to provoke the Persian king by taking in Jews. Also, interestingly, the king had unwittingly approved this edict, which meant the death of his own queen, Esther. Verse 14, a copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality so they would be ready for that day. The genocidal edict covered a vast Persian Empire, from Southeast Europe to India. There was really no place the Jews could run to safety. No one to whom they could appeal. Only God, behind the scenes, could save the Jews. And he did. As he had numerous times before and will again in the future against the final diabolical Antichrist. Righteous and just decent people must never remain silent regarding this kind of evil. Written on the side of a cellar in Cologne, Germany, by a Jew hiding from the Nazis, are these words, quote, "I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in love when feeling it not. I believe in God even when he is silent." End of quote. That is faith. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The biblical definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. So what drives such faith, such trust in God? What anchors such conviction? Manifestly, a refusal to believe that the often cruel evidence of darkness, hate, and evil is not, in fact, the final explanation. Because faith, like hope, comes from a conscious decision to choose, by an act of the will, a deliberate rejection of the brutal, in favor instead of embracing God's faithfulness, no matter what comes.
Thank you.
Brother Johnson has challenged us to make an effort to follow Jesus in faith and obedience. We pray that you are already a Christian. If you have questions regarding your salvation or about living in a closer walk with Jesus, please contact us. You may have a free CD of this and next week's program by requesting broadcast number 2403. That's 2403. We always want to hear from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.